I would be, you know, shocked if the prism didn't move. Everything else is solid, but the little metal band that holds the prisms in place, that's not enough to hold that mass of that prism. So I can almost guarantee you it's the prisms. Yeah, I'll admit that the prisms did move, but the spring mechanism that's holding the prism is back into its springy operation. The prisms themselves have their own little saddle mechanism they sit in, and they're in the middle of that saddle. So I think the prisms are back home. So after the event, I'm not yet convinced the prisms are out of alignment. Over to you, Dave. Did you look at the prisms on the left side? If you remember, we only looked at the right side of your binocular. We didn't see prisms on the left side. Did you open it up and look? Good point. Okay. I'm going to do that. Okay. We've got plan. Thank you. I got you, Dave. So, you know, again, we have to delve into it a little bit further. The binoculars that I collimated today were the 7x35 wide-angle binoculars that I also purchased on eBay after purchasing yours. And mine were slightly out of whack, just like yours are slightly out of whack. And it took me a number of attempts to work on them. And I was unsuccessful in probably the first five or six attempts. Was unsuccessful. But today I was able to do it. So every time, you know, that I am successful, I learn a little something more that gives me a little bit better confidence to continue on. There's one thing that I should have said while I was at your house, and that is you own quite a fair number of binoculars, and some of the people in your house think that you're taking up some space with those binoculars. I wish I had mentioned the fact that those binoculars are giving you a passion for which you really enjoy binoculars, telescopes, optical devices. A person's got to have a passion. And let's face it, a hell of a lot of people have crazy passions of alcohol and all kinds of funny things, high-speed automobiles. Yours is a very beneficial passion. I think the people in the house should be happy you have that passion. That was my message. I wish I had mentioned it. Over to you, Dave, K2RIW. Yeah, very good. Well, next time, you know, next time you can mention it. I did want to make three comments real quick. Number one, I didn't listen to the whole TechNet tonight. Bad on me. I was listening to the service up in Connecticut on the DP. And the president spoke, and he was very, very, very well spoken, very commendable. Just a couple of things. You do very well with the education aspect of the gun and the ideas and things like that, and you also do well with your ability to explain, you know, a lot of these ideas and things like that, and you should be commended on both of those points, Victor. Okay, you said you had 3 points. You told me two, and the two are compliments. I'm missing the third one today, though. Go ahead. And you also listen very well, which is good. The third point I just wanted to make was that I think it's a little bit, you had a couple of strong opinions as far as the mom of the shooter and her actions and things like that. And I think it's a little bit premature to make a lot of comments on that because we really don't know all of the details in the whole story and things like that. And I think as we find out more stuff, you know, things will become a little bit clearer, but it's really early in the game, I think. Yeah, you're probably right, John. Dave, I did jump the gun on that one. On assumption that what the media has told us is accurate, that's got to be confirmed. She did purchase those weapons. She did purchase that ammunition. They're registered in her name, and they existed in her house. And so if that is all accurate, and those assault weapons were bought by her and put in her house by her with the ammo. And the fact that she has a psychologically troubled child and the fact that she didn't secure those weapons. If I put those facts together, I'm saying there was room for improvement there. And that combination looked like it proved to be her demise. But we don't find out. That's you, Dave. K2LAW.
Yeah, and 2APJ. So, you know, like I said, it's very easy to make opinions and form opinions at this stage of the game, and you may be proven, you know, to be correct in the long run, but at this point, you know, I think out of respect that, you know, it'd be better that some things aren't commented on. So that's the only thing I wanted to comment on. But I hope your leg is doing better, and I hope you're going to finish up that antibiotic prescription.
Oh, I have no choice. I in the process of leaving the hospital late and didn't fulfill the prescription right away, there was some delay before I took the oral version, and I think my leg suffered a little bit of a setback in that period. But yeah, I'm going to continue all to the end, without a doubt. And I suspect it's going to be quite a long cure. That particular kind of a wound takes a while. But I'll hang in there. What choice have I got? Bye-bye for now, Dave. Get you LIW.
Yeah, Dick, before you go, do you have a follow-up person to take a look at that in at the right time to make sure it's healed up properly?
I sure do. Yeah, the main physician I dealt with wants to see me at the end of the 10 days of oral. I see a very improvement, and so in the 10 days there'll be enough improvement for him to recognize, and then it's going to be re-looked at by the same guy that saw me in the hospital. Hi, back to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, one thing, just a comment you might want to research a little bit, too. You know, the fact that you're on you've got a heavy dose of antibiotics in your system, first with the intravenous stuff in the hospital and now the oral stuff, that kills the bacteria in your system. And in killing the bacteria in your system, not only does it kill the bad bacteria, but it also kills the good bacteria. And that can lead to other infections. So it's good to, be aware of that.
Yeah, in the hospital as well as in the oral at home, taking at their suggestion, part of the prescription is the good acidophilus. You know what I'm talking about. I take a total of those pills every 12 hours. So a total of four of those pills for 24 hours. So they are trying to establish good flow at the same time they're wiping it out. And the predicted side effect of diarrhea of a reasonably mild case did take place, is taking place. And so the good news is I don't have to be quite as enthusiastic about eating a whole lot of bran every day. You know what I mean? That they get dry.
Oh, very good. Yep. Yeah, I know exactly. Yes, exactly what you speak of. So when I had some surgery a couple of years ago, I was on antibiotic regimen after the surgery for quite some time. And you learn stuff. You look in the mirror and you stick your tongue out and you go, what's that on my tongue?
So you're saying that the antibiotic was changing the color of your tongue? By the way, each time they gave me an intravenous injection of clindamycin, I could taste it. And that, of course, seemed a little bit crazy. They were injecting the stuff in an IV in my arm, and my taste buds are saying, hey, I know what that stuff tastes like. Have other people reported that, Dave?
A good question, but I don't know. I don't know, but it's probably a side effect. It's probably one of the side effects of that type of medicine.
Yes. I'm about to go away, and see you down below, Chester. Catch you later, baby.
Just no good, Mac. Keep in touch. We'll have to complete the collimation on those. Rhino. Has to be done. We can't let it sit like that.
K2RW and 2APG. Have a good night, 73.
Good night, Dave. Good night, Dick. KC2WGB.
Good night, John. Good night, John Boy. Hey, it's John Boy. Good night, John. And 2APG. Good to hear you.
Same here. I hated that show.
And John, incidentally, your signal into this repeater on island is excellent.
Oh, the strikes were excellent. Yes. good technique. It was a lot of fun. I love it. KC2WGB.
Yeah, John, I missed the first 3 hours of the net. Can you give me a quick synopsis? What did I miss?
Tennis, I had two that were emailed to me. Dick answered those, and there were three other ones, basically very similar questions. That was most of the technical end. And then there was a lot of the gun control and a lot of the discussion of the carnage that took place, which really has upset me. I'm still not over it. I can't imagine the mothers and fathers of those children that had to be put through that terrible thing.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You should be upset. Of course, it is an upsetting situation. Any mindful, concerned citizen would be upset, absolutely. Was there any talk about K4NBC on the net tonight?
Yes, Dick put that announcement out. In fact, we had a couple of people inform us before the net started. Another sad episode. So this week was just, a lot of heart-wrenching things happened. And it's just, you know, we're going through something in this country which is a little unsettling and very disturbing at times. I hope maybe New Year, maybe we'll have a better run next year.
Yeah, send to APJ. Oh, yep. I agree. There's a lot to be concerned about. And it's certainly, very upsetting. No question about it. But, the bottom line is we're all responsible for ourselves. Very difficult to be responsible for other people.
Oh, absolutely. There was a discussion about the amount of violence on TV and the amount of, with these programs where they start, like NCIS shows, it starts with usually a murder, usually of a naval officer or something, and then they go into that, and the children and the people who watch these shows, get worked up, and there's a lot of people complaining about that. But if you look at the news media and how they hide every little event, and if you notice, everything now is new breaking news, the excitement, the constant pumping, and the hype, it's just going, I think that is out of control. So if you want to see something pornographic, really, watch the news, and children are looking at this stuff. And that's real life that's happening, whether it be in the Middle East or wherever. The carnage that's going on is just crazy. Forget about the programming. Children know the difference between cartoon violence and movie violence. That they understand. They know it's not real. But when they see the real stuff, that concerns me.
Yeah, I already mentioned a couple of aspect of the conditions and problems, and like Dick said, you have to realize that that you're not educated. We all look for solutions. We want quick answers. We want simple solutions to complex problems, and there are no simple solutions to complex problems. It's multi-faceted. It has to be addressed on many, many different levels.
That's a good point, because I'd like to know what isn't a complex problem. When you really dissect a problem and get into the minutiae, everything takes a lot of consideration to solve. It seems no matter how small the problem is, catharsis for it is never simple. So we need some better minds to work on some of the issues, I think. KC2WGB.
Yeah, well, Dick has a lot of good thoughts and good ideas, and he's able to convey, you know, those ideas in a nice, kind-hearted fashion, which is very commendable. I can't do that, you know. I'm trying to be more like him in that regard. Hey, I know you've had telescopes before and things like that. How about binoculars? Do you have experience with binoculars?
I had a pair, I had about three pairs of binoculars that I really liked. One was a Japanese set from World War II. It was approximately 18 inches long. And I had some Zeiss and some Wepler units, which I really liked a lot. I had a Leica also. That's about my extent of binoculars. I never really took them apart to play with them or to work on them. But I enjoyed using them, absolutely. A lot of fun.
I got to tell you a quick story. You mentioned the Zeiss binoculars and military and stuff like that. A fellow that I worked with a few years ago, he says to me, you know, he knew that I was into binoculars and stuff, and he says to me, you know, my grandfather brought home a pair of binoculars from the war, and we have them at home. And I said to him, gee, I'd love to see them. And he said, oh, you know, okay, I'll bring them in one day. So I bugged him a couple of times, and he finally brings them in. He comes in with a cardboard box, and I'm expecting that he's going to show me a pair of well-worn, knocked-around, military-type binoculars from the war, probably got dug up out of a trench or something like that. You know, this is my expectation. So he brings the box in. We open up the box. Inside the box is an absolutely pristine binocular case, black in color with some military markings on it. And we open up the case, and he has a Zeiss binocular made for the German military, absolutely pristine, not a scratch on the binocular. It looked like it had just come off the production line, was dated 1943, and I was absolutely blown away.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what a great company they are. I had a pair of World War I binoculars, and this is before they had prisms. It was ice, and they had a coating of what looked like leather on them, which was a little rough to give you a grip on. They were very long because no prism. I sent them to Zeiss in Lexington. They refurbished them like new, free of charge. Can you believe that?
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. And this is a binocular that was probably, 80 years old?
That's about right. And I never knew they had coatings in those days, because when I looked through the binoculars, I noticed you could see it was peeling inside. And I thought it was dirt on the lenses, but I just didn't want to start to take it apart. It was very complex set of binoculars. So when I kicked around, somebody says, oh, if you send it to Zeiss, they'll repair them. And I figured, well, how much could they charge me? They're worth a couple hundred dollars. But when it came back with no bill, and it looked like they just come out of the mill, that's fantastic. You know, they're not as good as the ones of today, although the lens quality is very good. They're a little difficult to hold because of their weight and their size, but excellent piece of equipment. So we're pretty good.
WGB from N2APG. Yeah, very good. Well, when I go to the garage sales and flea markets and even at the hand tests, I look for binoculars. And I'm not looking for perfect binoculars that are, you know, I'm looking for the ones that have been dropped, the ones that I can pick up for only a few dollars and I can tear into. That's what I enjoy.
Yeah, and sometimes you find it's just a question of a few adjustments or repositioning, and you can put them back working well. And there are many binoculars that are from that era, World War II, that were high quality stuff. Japanese had better, Germans had, we had it also. And I think they're superior to some of the stuff we can buy today. People tell me, no, the stuff we buy today is much better, but I don't know. I look at all the brass fittings and all of the machine screws instead of rivets. I like the old stuff.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a World War II vintage pair of, you know, binoculars that built like a battleship. I mean, solid, you know, solid metal stuff that's just about indestructible. I went to the Sussex Handfest last year in the summertime, picked up a pair of that era vintage 7x50, ready for the military type binoculars. It was 10 powder. It needed a little work. I wasn't sure if I could actually get into these. You know, they were all a little bit corroded and, you know, that kind of stuff. But one day I finally got the gumption up and got into them and was able to open them up, clean them up, put them back together, and the view is beautiful.
That's nice when you can bring life back to an old product like that. That's really good quality stuff. And I felt the same way about cameras. I mean, I know everybody's into digital cameras. I have a few. I still like my 35 millimeters and my 2.25 by 2.25, and I have all of the nice reducing barrels. I can put them in binoculars. I can put them into telescopes, and I have a lot of fun with it. And I got to get back into telescopes. I got away from it for a while now, but I used to have a lot of fun doing that. And people are telling me now that digital cameras are coming to the point where you can almost do what you can do with 35 millimeter and 2.25, so I'm going to have to get a decent digital and see what I can do.
Sonar WW Mobile from Rhode Island.
To do the terrestrial viewing or looking up at his antenna up on the tower and looking at the screws and the nuts and, you know, things like that, I get a kick out of that. Because both people, you know, they get a telescope and they look at the moon a few times, they look at the planets, and then put the telescope away. It doesn't get used again for the next 15 years. So, you know, Dick really gets his money's worth out of his optical stuff. And, you know, modern day telescopes now are just unbelievable what you can get for the money. Fantastic stuff that they have.
Have you ever taken your binoculars to something with a wide field and just brought on a dark night and pointed up at the North Star with your camera and just let it, you know, just expose it for about maybe 3 or 4 minutes and look at the amount of stars that you see in that circular pattern? It's unbelievable.
M2HOH, I think it is. Go ahead. This is M2APG. My name is Dave.
Thank you. Good evening, Dave, and of course, John. Good evening. I was listening for the past half hour, 45 minutes after work, and I was dying to ask Dave a question about, have you ever collimated binoculars for telescopes?
I don't see that as being a big problem.
Okay, one of the ways that I thought it could be done was with the eyepieces inside the binoculars and maybe focusing on something tiny but close to the binoculars at a very high power. I have housing with normal use for astronomy. Then you should be able to do it that way, but I was never able to focus on something small. That method, so I was wondering if you have a method to suggest to me.
Yeah, John, do you mind if I answer his questions real quick?
Oh, Dave, go ahead. I'm interested myself. What is he interested in calling me?
Yeah, HOH, what is your name?
Hello, I've lost so many times when I'm having a quick thing, so My name here is Ann Pittman, 2828, Woodhaven, Queens.
Okay, Andy, very good. I hear you on the input better than I do through the repeater. Write my call sign down, N2 Alpha Papa Golf, N2 ATG. You can get my email address on QRZ. John, he has a binocular viewer that he uses on a telescope. So it's two eyepieces that go into the telescope so you can look through both eyes. And he mentioned some kind of problem with the, first he said collimation, but then he said focusing. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, what the issue is, because and those are two different issues. Collimation is merging both images from one eye to the other eye, merging that into one image. So when you look into the binocular viewer, you see one image. That's the collimation. Focusing is, you know, is the clarity, the sharpness of the image. Andy.
Yes, I guess I'm not making it into the scene, but yes, collimate my binocular viewers, but I'm not sure of the procedure or protocol to do so.
Yeah, when you use your, first of all, what type of binocular viewer did you get? Does it have a name brand on it or anything like that? And are you saying that when you use the binocular viewer, you don't get a collimated image? When you look through them, you get a double image, you can't focus it into one?
Well, the I actually have access to two. I have my own, is an Orion, an expensive brand, and had an option to buy a Desmoyer brand. And I believe that the only problem with both pairs is they might be slightly out of collimation, because there are times when you can't. Exaggerating either, and I'm pretty comfortable with the expensive pair that I collimated, but now I have an option to a more expensive pair that I believe are out of collimation.
Okay, if the vinyl viewer is out of collimation, what that means is that the internal prism have shifted due to rough handling. Somebody has dropped it, you know, something like that, and it's now out of collimation, so that no matter what you do as far as adjusting, you know, the thing back and forth, closer, further apart, you cannot get a single image. If that's the case, then it needs to be opened up, and the prisms have to be, you know, manipulated in such a way that the, you know, that it collimated again. Has to be fixed, in other words, if that's the case.
Yes, that's what I did with the Orion brand. Trial and error, and I got them to where they work extremely well. I just don't want to go through the same procedure with a more expensive pair that are not mine before I was to, collimate them. No, I don't want these to come back. But of course, with information, because that's what I would be doing. Or when I was successful, and then I would purchase them from the person. And I don't see damage as far as physical damage dropping. I just think that maybe the age, it's just a matter of age.
N2HOH and 2ACG, are you still out there, Andy?
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Good, and to a twitch.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Idle auto connect off. Idle auto connect enabled. Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
This is N2HQH. KC2WBG, this is N2HQH. N2ATG, this is N2HQH.
Meet you over there, N2ATG.
Bell repeater system.
My mom.
job, and she was pretty much homeless for years. And, you know, it's unbelievable what's going on out here. So there's definitely going to be a reaction on this regarding guns and all that. But it was kind of interesting. I was talking to a woman next to me that are Harbor Craig Company. She said, I have a pistol license. I understand the whole situation. But she said, you know, I have that next to me. I'm a single woman, and she was an older woman. And she said, I live in a centralized London. She said, I'm just have the right to this protection. And so it gets into all those things. So my downstairs, neighbor has six rifles in his house, so pretty modern. So, you know, whatever they're going to do, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of different things going on, I'm sure. Back to you, Jay.
Bob, you any better yet? If so, take it, answer it, pass it over. There are so many guns out there that putting control in now is going to help. They said there's like millions and millions and millions. But the thing that bothers me is, when I lived upstate, I used to hunt. I had rifle, shotgun, you know. But I think I still have my rifle up in the closet. But that's a single gun. These people that get assault weapons that are, you know, semi-automatic, you don't use those for hunting. You don't use those for target practice, so what the heck do you need them for? But, you know, I don't know what's ever going to happen. Traffic isn't any better an hour earlier, it seems, huh? I'm on the LIE, but it's not moving real fast. I hope I get there in time for the meeting. Bob, over to you. If not, over to Peter, KC2YSK. Better already. All right, Bob. job over to you. Yeah, I mean, maybe the way to go is, you know, regulating the sale of ammunition. I mean, the guns are out there. You can't get them back, you know. But maybe you could tighten up the controls on the ammo, except that any crazy worth his salt already has stockpiled plenty of ammo.
Excellent point, Jay. You know what's be getting lost here, you know, in the media and everything, is the shooter was mentally ill. And the one thing that I find most interesting is he offed himself once he heard the police show up. Any means to stop him, by nature, these folks tend to be weaklings. They're not going to continue their rampage as soon as they realize they're going to get nailed. So that raises another question. Maybe we're working on the wrong end of this thing. If somebody in that school had the means of defense, this could have gone differently.
And that's what's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be, you know, should every principal now have a pistol? You know, woman principal had a pistol that died differently. So, there's going to be a lot of examination of things, I'm sure. And, at least if you tighten up ammo now, then, at least it will have an effect as time goes on. So, I don't know, we'll see what happens. See where it goes. But it is a sad situation, that's for sure. Right on top of the Christmas here and everything. And Jay, by the way, we've got a week to go before Christmas, so. But I got things, I just got to decorate the tree. I got the lights on it, but I just got to get it decorated up, and that's about it. Shopping is pretty well done, so. We're trying to keep the Christmas spirit going despite all these tragedies and everything. So, over here there, Jay. And yeah, it's just a little rough spot there in Novak. That's the best I can do coming out of the only way out of Basel. Over to you, Jay.
Hi, thanks, Peter. Yeah, I mean, that's the issue, Bob. You know, he was crazy. I mean, who knows? Maybe his mother was, you know, good and had the guns locked up and everything else. Didn't matter. Somehow he killed her, which meant that the guns were maybe more accessible than they should have been. You know, when my kids were young, guns were in one place and ammunition someplace else and locked. I was taking no chances. I mean, somehow he got one of her guns and killed her. He was mentally unbalanced. Let's face it, he was crazy. But it is too easy for some people to... They said, I think, over Thanksgiving weekend, over 2 million people just applied for gun permits. I said to my wife, those are probably legitimate people. You know? The real crazy ones aren't going to do that. They're going to get it, you know, like with all the illegal handguns, you know. I don't know. There is no easy answer. Bob, over to you.
Thank you, Jay. KB3UWO on the top of the mountain, booming by now, I think, hopefully. Talk about timing, right? I agree with you, Jay. There's no straight answer, but I can tell you what we're currently doing and the path we're going down is certainly not working. That's abundantly clear. You know, it's unbelievable. But anyway, on the top of the mountain in fog over here, just coming out of Greenwood Lake. And just as for the record, I really enjoyed being on this repeater, and I got to join your group. I have to do that. So I think I can do that on the Internet, correct? Peter, I guess you pick it up next. KB3UWO, and I'll be listening on the side. I'll be getting in a rough spot here for about 10 minutes, and then I'll give you a shout back.
Let me just answer that, Peter, if I can. Go to the website, you can go to PayPal, and you can just pay the dues right there via PayPal, if you have a PayPal account. That's the easiest way, or you can mail them in. Peter, over to you.
Okay, very good there. Jay and Bob booming in there, doing really well on top of the mountain there. Yeah, well, it's clear that the path we're going happens here. and I could go out and get a new one. Build my own village for the future, I guess. So, yeah, we're in pretty good shape. I just got to finish up Christmas cards tonight because I've been was busy with other things and getting the tree and other things up over the weekend. So, so it's a matter of sitting down tonight and spending the evening wrapping up Christmas cards. I got some in the mail there, but got to make sure they all get going there. And that's the main thing, and then just finish decorating the tree, so in the Christmas spirit there. Went out to dinner, went to the Millridge Inn. Boy, it was packed. Couldn't even get in. We didn't have reservations, and we would have had to wait an awfully long time, and so we ended up going to a Chinese restaurant right down the...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Oh, you timed out the repeater there, Peter. But I didn't think it was that long a talk. Listen, I'm actually at the exit, so I'm going to sign out right now. I gotta make a phone call, and then I should be at the middle school for the meeting. So you have a great day. Enjoy your egg salad. And maybe we'll catch you on the way home. KC2YSK. I'll be clear.
Okay, I just heard you on the input. You're just blasting in really strong. And I'm just getting on at exit 41, and you're probably getting off at 41. So, all right, we'll catch you later on, man. And, yeah, I already have the egg salad I bought enough for today and tomorrow. So I don't have to stop at the deli on the way in. So, all right, well, stay well and all the best, Jay. We'll catch you later on. Be curious to see how your meeting goes when I talk to you later this afternoon. W2FC, T-Mobile.
W2SET, KC2YSK. Well, I made my call, and I'm stuck at a red light anyway, Peter, so I got a little more time.
Okay, very good, Jay. No problem. I just passed the Seabrook Ocean Bay Expressway, so, yeah, I'm looking at your traffic that you just came through, and it's moving, but it's pretty heavy. But it's always like this in the morning. And, I don't have to deal with that going the direction I'm going. But it can be light on some mornings. In the middle of the week, it seems to lighten up a little bit. So, very good. And I haven't heard anything about any waivers or anything.